Have your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Mpakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Of course, we're talking motoring, and this morning we're taking a look at the latest around electric vehicle sales, around Renault's new model plans, and their new global transformation strategy. And of course, as he does when he speaks to us on Weekend Breakfast, Ernest Page will also be giving us a car review, and today it is the Volvo S60. He's a friend of the show. Amazingly funny and quirky and entertaining on his Instagram page. Ernest Page at Performance with Page is the name of is his handle. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Ernest. Thank you so much for your time.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show, to be on Radio 702. And as you know, I was a fan of yours first on Instagram, so thanks for the shout out there. I appreciate it.
Well, I finally followed back and I'm like, oh, why did it take me so long? Love the videos, love the content. And I think you might have the best job on earth. Seriously, seriously, seriously. If you're a motoring journalist and yours is to drive, review, and then create content, you are winning in life. You're doing this life thing right, Ernest.
No, I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. And, you know, it's one of the sad things about my job is actually giving cars back.
I know, right?
And one of the cars, and, you know, people think I'm a motorsport enthusiast. I like going fast on track and things like that. But one of my all-time favorite cars is the Volvo XC60. And I've got that on test this week. I've got a diesel Volvo XC60, which I would argue is one of the best cars in the world. And I've got to give it back on Monday, but I'm here to also tell you and the listeners about this car. And how excellent it is, because us motoring journalists, we are disappointed that more people in South Africa don't buy Volvos because they're such good cars.
But, okay, I mean, you know the numbers, you know the figures, and we'll get your review of the S60, right? But I'm just wondering, surely the proliferation on the, because for me, that's what I see. I do see a proliferation of Volvos on the road. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a lovely car. We know its reputation for safety, but I mean, but aesthetically, right? And in terms of the interior and the ride and the experience, I thought South Africans had, you know, I thought we'd agreed. We'd had a family meeting and agreed that we do love this car. Could the numbers be much, much better? Or was I alone in this? Am I the only one that got the memo?
We had the meeting and we all agreed, but it's one of those things where the culture is very slow to adopt Volvos, and they're just not selling as much as they do in relatively similar countries all over the world. I think, as you said, we all agree that it's a good car, but they're just not doing the numbers. And it's such a pity, because it's one of those cars. A friend of mine bought the XC40, and it's one of those cars that when you test drive it, you realize, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
And I think if you are in the market for a premium SUV, then it's certainly at least worthwhile just to go sit in the car. And like I always say, when it comes to test driving vehicles, I make sure to advise people, tell the sales guy, I'm not here to buy this car. I'm here to test this car. And then if I want to buy it, it goes on my shortlist, and then maybe I'll see you again. But I think it's one of those cars that people should go test drive, because it's just wonderful. And it really is.
So we had the family meeting, but it's kind of like when you and your girls are going to like a school social and you say, guys, we're all going to dress in pink and we're going to wear skirts and mesh tops. Yes. And everyone says, yes, Chomi, we're doing it. And then you're the only one who rocks up in pink short skirt and a mesh top, and everyone else is dressed the way they want to dress. All right, let's get serious now. Just for a minute.
BMW, Merc, and Audi.
Exactly. You can't trust those girls, hey? But Chomi.
Yeah, exactly.
So we are looking at, let's take a look at electronic vehicle sales, EV sales growing by 41% during the global pandemic. We're also ranked fifth globally in the ratio of public electric vehicle charges to electric vehicles. Yes. Interesting news. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thought? Having said that, though, you know, I'm looking at this article with great skepticism, because just because we have the highest ratio of charging stations to cars, it doesn't mean that our EV situation is any different to what it was in the 2020 study, when we only had 1,000 cars.
Sure.
You know, we now have maybe double that, maybe between 1,500 to 2,000 cars. So our electric car number in South Africa is still very, very low. But we do have the infrastructure, which is the good news. That's the good news. The bad news is that, by all indications, we're on our way to becoming a car nation by 2050. And we might not make that deadline. So that's another, 29 years from now. So we might not make that deadline with the way the current infrastructure is changing. So, conversations like you and I are having now on this massive platform, one of the reasons I like to have this conversation on a platform like this is because government does need to step in and start offering incentives for people to get electric vehicles, just like government does in many, many other countries. Having said that, we do have a diesel economy in South Africa. So it's going to be a tough switch over for us over the next 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. And of course, just for context, obviously all of these stats were published by the International Energy Agency, right, with our global electric vehicle outlook. We're ranked amongst countries like Korea, Chile, Mexico, Indonesia, and the Netherlands. But, I imagine that you mentioned the diesel economy. I imagine that when we look at the future of EV, whilst it might be more desirable for us to make advancements in electric vehicles in transit and in public vehicles and business, but maybe for SA, we are largely going to see that movement in the passenger vehicle market at first.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The passenger vehicle market, the early adopters, they're paying the price at the moment because there's an extra premium on import tax for electric vehicles. There's a road tax implications. There's fuel levies that they don't have to pay. So all of that money needs to get paid to the government sort of in an upfront payment. So you're looking at certain cars being 20-30% more expensive than they actually should be or than their petrol counterparts. So at the moment, the consumer is paying that bill to be able to use an electric car.
So is driving range still a concern for South African drivers, for the South African market?
I think, range anxiety, as they call it, is still going to be a concern for a while. But as someone that's experienced a few electric cars and some of them that have a better range, and those ranges are growing yearly. Tesla now just published that their cars can do between 500 and 700 kilometers on some of them. So, those ranges are increasing yearly. And it's going to be a thing of the past if you're going to stay within the Western Cape. Then you should be fine. If you're going to Johannesburg,
sure.
Then you just got to plan your route and make sure you've got charging stations on the way. But if you're staying in the Western Cape, staying in Gauteng, if you've got 500 kilometer range, it should be okay.
Yeah, it's more than enough. And just to go back to your original point, which is a government policy or government being a key element in accelerating electric vehicle adoption, what might that look like in the South African context?
Oh, now that's a very good question and something that, we need to get legislation changed. We need to make sure that government doesn't put a penalty on manufacturers for importing electric vehicles. That's one of the first things. The percentage for importers is higher when they bring in an electric vehicle versus an equivalent petrol vehicle. That's number one. Then the second thing is government need to make sure that any levies that the client has to pay then gets waived, and then also how are we going to recoup the money from the fuel levy? That's still the question that government is asking. Like, how are you going to replace the money that the fuel levy at the moment is over 250? I think it is. It's ridiculous. So that money goes straight into government, and that money disappears when electric vehicles take over. So they have to figure out a new way of doing things. Having said that, even if they open the market, I think the development of the market will be slow enough so that we can implement this over a 10, 15, 20-year period and figure it out during that time.
Mm.
But again, I'm not sitting in those meetings. And when I spoke to a gentleman named Martin Pollack, who does sit in those meetings from time to time, it's a bit difficult because you're bumping your head against the wall sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on from there and take a look at how Renault is purpose-fitting the operations for the future. What is happening within that company?
So yesterday I went to a Renault meeting, and if the Renault PR is near me, they're going to not be happy with me because normally these meetings are quite boring. So I was expecting to just get there and they're going to talk about this is our plan for the year, and that's all good and well. But they made a very interesting announcement. They've got a new CEO now worldwide, And that's made ripple changes in how Renault is doing business at the moment. So most manufacturers build cars and want to sell as many cars as possible because they sold so many cars. So you sold 100 cars last year. This year we have to sell 110 cars this year. Next year we have to sell 115 cars this year. And one of the things that I've kind of been crusading a little bit against is selling as many cars as possible for the sake of selling as many cars as possible. And Renault's Group CEO, Luca de Meo, is one of the first CEOs to say, you know what, we're not going to go for volume anymore.
Huh.
We're going to now, yes, and we're going to now look at the value proposition. We're going to cut down the amount of cars that we're selling from 4 million a year to about 3.1 million a year. Instead of chasing 7 million a year, 6 million that they were chasing, we're now going to drop that number down because, you know, the world that we live in at the moment, we cannot constantly escalate the amount of cars that we're producing. And that's a wise move for the future of sustainability.
That is so interesting. And it's in many ways like in step with the kind of, you know, the kind of thinking and brand building that we see perhaps in high fashion, right? Or in luxury fashion.
Yes. Yes.
But one would think that with the proliferation of new models upon new models upon new models every other month, it would seem, as some vehicle manufacturers do. Are Renault consumers going to buy that? Because, you know, we are one of those nations that do like to change a car. I mean, keeping a car for 10 years or 15 years, never mind that 5-year period, is a lot to ask of some people because you always want to be seen in the last number.
Yes. So what they're going to do is they're going to focus on certain areas that they are excelling in, like, you know, Quid is selling big numbers, Duster is selling big numbers, the new little SUV selling big numbers. They've got a brand new car coming out in about 3 or 4 months, I think within the next 6 months, the Kiger. So they've got their range will be updated, their range will fit into which are their best sellers, and they're going to focus on those.
Uh-huh.
But what they're going to do is thin it out slightly to about 80% of what it is, I think around about 80% of what it is, and also use similar platforms to create the cars that they then will create.
Okay.
So it's a strategic move within their business to maximize. Obviously, they want to maximize profits. You know, that's why a capitalist business exists, to make money.
Uh-huh.
But what they're not doing is making every single car to fit in every single segment so that they've got a car in every single segment.
Got it.
And I really like that idea. I think certain manufacturers do need to do that. Certain manufacturers do need to have a car in every segment because that's just how they're competing.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that don't, you know, it's not necessary to have a 15-car lineup and then, you know, have so many different cars to choose from because you have to sell so much volume, et cetera. So it's a departure from the norm,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping that this will become a trend with more manufacturers going forward.
Well, Ernest, a wise man once said, stay in your lane. And it sounds like that's exactly what Renault is doing. I want to take us back just a little bit, Ernest, and play a voice note that we received just as we're launching into the conversation around Renault. But this one is related to electric vehicles. Let's see. Let's start right at the top.
Morning, Rafilwe. This is Malinga Morena in Kadlo. I get the...
Oh, my goodness. I've got sticky fingers this morning. Let's play the correct voice note. Sorry about that, Ernest.
Hey, Kahelo from Kabete. I would like to know, roughly, how much does it cost to charge an electric car, the battery full?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting question. So, depends on how you charge it. If you charge it at a charging station, a lot of the times you're incentivized to charge at certain charging stations, so you might get a free charge up at, let's say, there's a little shopping center in Constantia where at the moment you're incentivized to charge your electric vehicle, so you won't have to pay a cost. Then there's also an option to get a card from BMW or one of these manufacturers to get access to their charging station. Again, that's subsidized. Where the real cost comes in is if you charge via a regular electric port.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably the most expensive. And, you know, the figures that we get from the manufacturers and stuff don't always line up, to be honest. Because I tested that theory myself, and it was very, very expensive just to get half a tank of electricity into the car.
Mm.
So it would cost me about, I would say, about a third to half the price of fuel to be able to get that same amount of electricity in. But the correct way to do it, mm-hmm. where you will save a lot of money, is when, and I didn't experience this, I can't speak to this,
okay.
is when the manufacturer comes to your house and installs the correct charging point into your home. So there's, if you buy a Volvo electric car, a Jaguar electric car, you then have them come over to your house, and they will then charge it for you, or they'll give you a specific charger for the car.
Sure.
And that's where the big savings come in.
And what's the outlay for that, Ernest?
Well, that's usually included with the car.
Okay. Now,
Jaguar claims it's about 180 rand to charge from 0 to 100%. Mm-hmm. That's what Jaguar claims. But as I said, sometimes these claims don't always match up, and it's something that, you know, you need to then try for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that question there. Let's then move on. You then had, I'm going to assume the pleasure mm-hmm. of driving the Volvo S60, since you are a bit of a Volvo fan. Tell us more about this baby.
So the Volvo that I've got here is the XC60 D5, which is the top-of-the-line diesel model. It has 173 kilowatts, 480 newton meters, and an 8-speed gearbox. So those are the tech figures. And it's got Volvo's 2-liter engine, because all of Volvo's engines are now 2-liter. So they've decided to standardize the engine across the range, which is quite strange, but they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Volvo shines is that you get things called premium packs. And that, it does add to the price a little bit. So your total price comes to just over 1 million rand, 1 million and 96 rand. But I think the driving experience of the Volvo is really where it becomes an absolute pleasure. Now, I sprained my ankle a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. I'm in a little boot at the moment.
A skeezy.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get sympathy from the listeners out there. I'm trying to be strong about it. But the Volvo is the perfect car to be driving around in, because it feels like I'm being carted around by a doctor himself. It's very, very smooth. Mm. It's very easy to drive. It's not the most engaging driving experience, but it's not supposed to be, because you press the button and then the car ends up driving itself. Just like some of the electric cars we're talking about, Volvo's got one of the best autonomous systems in the market.
Yeah.
So you press a little button and then the car drives itself, and it's very good at driving itself. It's also got, the usual standard safety features, a whole bunch of standard safety features. And they've still got the reputation of being the safest in the world. They're not necessarily head and shoulders above the rest anymore, because some of the other manufacturers have caught up.
Sure.
But it's still an exceptionally safe car, very, very comfortable car. And it's just a good car. And, I mean, they've won multiple Cars Awards in our end-of-year Cars Awards event. So it's a vetted car. It's an award-winning car. It's really a good option for somebody that doesn't want to look at the usual German offerings in that.
Mm. Tell us more about the interior and, of course, the entertainment system. How did it look after you, our patient in resident?
Now, I would have opted for the non-sports seats, because this one's got the sports seats without the massage option. I would have wanted the massage option to.
Oh, excuse us. Yes, carry on.
Yes. But it does have a 360 camera, one of the best in the business, even after all these years. The Volvo XC60 has been around for a while, but it's still got one of the best cameras. The ergonomics in the interior, Swedish design is very different to German design. And what they've done is the placement of certain buttons are exactly where my body thinks it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's orthopedically designed in a way. So, when you rest your hand on the gear lever, the hazard button is right there within reach. It's those type of details. The window wind or the window mechanism button is specifically designed to fit your finger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those type of attention to detail. And then the audio system, maybe top three in the world at the moment. It was the best, but I would say as far as in-car entertainment goes, it's got a 19-speaker sound system, which is an absolute pleasure to enjoy.
You are in a movie theater.
You're in a movie theater. You just don't watch movies while you're driving there. But when you play your favorite song, and this is not hyperbole, when I played one of my favorite songs, as someone that considers myself, an avid drummer, I could hear things that I didn't notice before.
Mm.
And it's exceptionally good, the in-car entertainment, the ergonomics, the sunroof, you know, the experience of driving a Volvo. And again, I'm trying to lay off that over here. It's one of the best in the business. It really, really is.
Okay, okay. You've convinced us, Ernest. You've won us over. Now, girls, watch me. Let's go. Let's head on out and get that Volvo, okay? Always a pleasure, Ernest. Really enjoy our conversations. And, of course, look forward to checking out that content on your Instagram page, because, boy, oh, boy, do you bring it all to life. And it certainly is entertaining. We'll chat next time.
Thank you so much. It's been well. I look forward to the next one.
All right, and good luck on that healing journey there for your ankle. That's Ernest Page, and you can find him on @performance with Page on Instagram.